Good to be with you this morning. Good to see everyone here. Looks like it might just be us this morning. Not sure if I see any visitors. It's good to be with you. This is such a fantastic event and opportunity that we have here, and the fact that we're able to do it every week so often is something that is an incredible opportunity. But because we do come together every week, we can start to forget about certain things that are really important and not get the most use out of what we're doing here, not get the most use out of our assembly and our study together, our prayers and our songs, and the Lord's Supper. And you know, this is something that we do all the time because it's our life and it's our lifestyle. You know, just because we are struggling, you know, with our hearts and with our minds, and so our mind strays when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper or something like that, what should we do? Well, I guess we should enable ourselves, right? Let's have the Lord's Supper, you know, once in a lifetime, you know? Let's have it once a year or something like that. You know, let's enable ourselves because we're having a really hard time. Well, the thing is, not just understanding what the Lord's commanded out of us, and our coming together to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week, we can see authority for that in the Scriptures. Authority that we must follow, because it's God's authority. But we've got to understand that our life is all about pressing. It's about pressing on. And so we can't say, oh, you know, because my mind wanders, my heart wanders, because I do this so often or whatnot, let's figure out a different way to do it. Let's figure out to do it every quarter, every year, whatever. And, you know, a lot of people think that way, but that's not how God thinks. That's not what we find as the mindset in the Word of God. The mindset of a Christian is continuing to press further and further. And that's what we saw in our scripture reading in Philippians chapter 3. I want us to turn back over there to the book of Philippians chapter 3. We're going to talk about several things here within this chapter. But this is who we are as Christians. We are pressing forward in our mind. We're pressing forward with our spirit. And so things to us are not a matter of, well, because I do something so often for God that I guess I really shouldn't do it that often. You know, I need to push it back further or something like that. You know, these are wild and worldly ideas that we don't find in the Word of God. What we find here is that we must press, we must strain towards the goal. Push onward. And here in Philippians chapter 3, we see that Paul is talking about his life. He's talking a little bit about his past life as well, you know, the things he used to do, the things he used to feel were good accomplishments for himself and his life. And he really was quite an accomplished individual. He describes various things here at the beginning of the chapter. But then he says in verse 7, "But whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law." Now, in context, he's referring to the law of Moses, not the law of Christ. All right. We didn't get to read the whole context there, but that's what he's been dealing with, especially earlier in this chapter, when he was telling them to beware of the Jewish teachers, beware of those of the mutilation, okay? That refers to the Jewish people who are trying to circumcise individuals. So, He says, it's not a righteousness of my own that I found by excellency in myself performing the law of Moses perfectly. That's not how it worked, he said, but it came through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. In verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Now, there's a lot of beauty in this text, but there's a lot of really important, really challenging things for us to consider in our minds. First of all, how interesting is Paul? You know, and he is inspired by the Spirit, but he is, we see this as he talks to the Corinthians as well, as he talks about life as like running a race and how he doesn't want to be disqualified. And you think, how interesting is this individual? Paul, and all the things that he does, no one would think, I wouldn't think, that he could ever become disqualified. All right? And yet, he is talking to the Corinthians about running his race with diligence and persevering and enduring and staying on track and keeping focused, because he doesn't want to be disqualified. Here is a similar ideas in Philippians 3 where, you know, he talks about in verse 11, by any means possible that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I want to be raised up in the resurrection. I want to be raised to be with Christ eternally, he says, and I'm going to do that by any means possible. We don't have Paul sitting back here and saying, look at my track record, look at what all I've done, I've got this. You know, it's in the bag. I've already made it, folks. And I'm just writing to you to tell you, you need to make it. But you can't call me into question. I mean, look at what I have done for Christ. It's not what he says at all. He says, I don't want to be disqualified. Can you imagine those words coming out of Paul? He says, by any means possible, I am pressing forward by any means possible to attain the resurrection from the dead. So he's not of the mindset that he's going to do a few things in order to get by and attain to the resurrection. No, he says, by any means possible, anything that I can possibly do to attain to the resurrection, I'm going to do. And then in verse 12, notice what he says. He says, it's not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect. He says, but I press on to make it my own. He has not attained. It's not, in Paul's mind, it is not his own. We could fall into the trap of thinking about old Paul and saying, he's made it, you know. He's made it his own. Salvation, you know, is got to be guaranteed to this individual because of what he has done. But Paul is not talking about what he's done. Paul's talking about that day. The day that he wrote this letter, he says, I'm pressing. He's talking about tomorrow. I'm pressing. I'm straining. I'm going forward. I'm moving forward. All right? I'm moving forward. And so this is really critical for us to recognize in our life as well. There's good application here because what did we do yesterday? You know, what did we do in the past? And we may have done some really wonderful things for the cause of Christ, for the cause of His kingdom in the past. But what about today? See, There's something about our minds. We want to hang our hats on something in the past, you know? And that's why we might have trophies in our house. You know, we've got some different things hanging up, different memories hanging up, different pictures hanging up, whatever it is. You know, something we did, something we went to, something we saw, something that was important. And that's fine for our secular life, but when it comes to being a Christian, we cannot say, because I did this sometime in the past, because I was really strong over here in the past, I have attained, I've made it. You know, I've cashed in enough points to be able to make it. If anyone could have said that, I'd say it had to be Paul. You know, with all that he did, he gave up his entire life, and that's what he talked about earlier in the chapter. You know, I've counted all things but loss. You know, all the things that were important to me in life, he says, I consider them trash now, rubbish, because it's all about Christ. And we know he's not just blowing smoke here. We know he's not just saying that. We can see that in his life and what he did. Certainly, he dropped his life in order to gain Christ. And he lived for Christ. He worked for Christ. His life was all about the kingdom. And yet, he still says here, I haven't obtained. I am not perfect. I have work to do. And for today and for always, anything possible for me to do, I'm going to do it because I want to attain that resurrection. All right? So there is a mindset here that is important for us to learn. You know, there's no procrastination on Paul's part. There's no thought that I've done enough. No, he says, anything possible for me to do, I'm going to do it. Because I do not want to miss out. So I'm going to do everything in my power, everything that I'm capable of, in order to attain to the resurrection. We might not think that way. And so we might raise the question, I don't think that way. Paul's of that position, but I'm not of that position. But is that okay? Is it okay to not have the same kind of mindset that Paul has? Can I be of a little bit of a different opinion on this? Can I do view the resurrection as something that I can kind of glide by on, you know, and get into almost by accident? Can I be of that position? I think that's an interesting question that can be readily answered by the context here. In verse 13, he says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. So again, I raise the question, can we think any other way than the mindset that Paul is presenting here in the text? The answer is no. As Paul has just said there in verse 15, anyone who is mature thinks like this. If you don't think this way, you're not mature. It doesn't matter how old you are, how physically old you are. Spiritually, if you don't think this way, you are not mature. That's what he is saying. Because everyone who is mature thinks like this. So this isn't just Paul. This isn't just his opinion. This isn't just some superstar of a guy and everybody looks up to him. No one can possibly do anything like he can do. And I get it. he has a different function in the body of Christ than we do. Let's just put that on the record, because we all have different function, all right? We're all different. I'm not saying that we all need to be exactly and do exactly what Paul did. But for what is possible for us, he's just laying forth his example here. What's possible for us, we need to strain for. We need to press forward with. And that is the mind of maturity, he's saying. Everyone who is mature in Christ thinks exactly like this. This isn't just my opinion, Paul is saying. This isn't just what I've decided to do, but every other things might be okay, or other things are okay, but you know what? This is what I'm going to do, because I know I used to murder Christians, and I feel really bad about that, so I'm going to really work super, super hard. But that's my path, that's what I've decided. There's other ways to do it, though. There's other opinions. No, that's not true. Everyone who is mature thinks like this. He says, if any of you think otherwise, you're wrong. All right? If any of you think otherwise, you're wrong. He says, God will reveal this to you. What he's saying here is, this isn't my opinion. This is God. This is not my opinion. If you think otherwise, you think differently than God. Because God's going to reveal this to you. Now, that could be a good thing or a bad thing. We can grow into maturity. We can, by the Word of God, we can grow and understand and become this way and start to think this way and be mature like this. Or, on the other side of the coin, someday this will be revealed to us. This is exactly the kind of person we needed to be, but we weren't. And on the day of judgment, this same information, the same stuff we're reading right now, and we can do something about it right now, the same information is going to be presented to us on the day of judgment. God's going to say, this is my mind. This is what I think. And you didn't do it. So somehow, some way, this is going to be revealed to us. Whether the day of judgment, but hopefully before. Now the thing is, it is being revealed to us, right? It's being revealed in the text. We just have to listen to it. We just have to make the necessary changes of our life. He's talking here about a mindset by which we are pressing forward. We are not looking at our life, or our life with God even, as I've done this and this and this in the past, so I'm going to make it. We are not counting that at all. In fact, Paul makes that point there in verse 13. Is he says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting what is behind in order to strain forward. See, we have a really hard time, I think, with that. Maybe some of us don't. But probably a lot of us have a hard time forgetting about what lies behind. We want to hold on to that as if that's what we did today, or who we are today. Forget it. You know, press forward today. Press on, strain forward to what lies ahead, he says. Our focus is to be on what is ahead. And what is ahead is Christ. He says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There it is. What is he pressing for? What's going on? What is he straining for in his life? He says, I am pressing towards a goal. And the goal is for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. The upward call. What we've been called to, and forget this denominational idea about, oh, I've been called to this, I've been called to that. You don't find that in scriptures. We've all been called by the same word of God. We've been called by the same information. What we've been called to, what Paul says, is an upward call. All right? It is a high calling. It's up there. We've been invited to something that's very great and very high. It's something that is beyond, you know, what the soles of our feet are touching right now. It's beyond this ground. It's beyond this soil. It's something greater than this earth. It is something spiritual and grand. So it is an upward call. Okay? And so what the world calls people in the world. Still, I believe, too, you know, everyone is being called. You know, may not be being called by God, and by that I mean called by what we find in the Scriptures. Again, I'm not referring to anything miraculous. We might not be called by God. We might be being called by the world. But the world never has an upward call for us. The world is always eye level, all right? What do we see eye level? I want to press on to something eye level. You know, I want this for my life, I want this for my life, and I want that for my life. So the call of the world is not upward. It doesn't try to be by any means. It is always eye level. See something, I want that for my life. I want this career, I want this possession, I don't know what it is. I want this. What God has called us for here is an upward call, something that we need to change our position in life, change our eye line so that we are looking up. And then as we're looking up, Paul says, that's the goal. That's the prize. So the world calls folks for prizes here. God is calling us to a prize beyond here, which is a wonderful thing. Because here, no matter how many prizes you might collect, you're still going to live in pains and sicknesses, disease, and you'll die very shortly. What a wonderful hope this is. That what God is calling us for is an upward call. The upward call of God in Christ. But what is that? What is this prize, this goal? He's using all these words, but what is it? Well, we may have missed it, but we've already read it. He's been talking all about it. His focus here, as we began about verse 7, is where we began reading at the beginning of this lesson. Was, he says, I count all things as loss for the sake of Christ. He says in verse 8, I count everything, that is everything at eye level, this world, okay? It is all of loss to me, he says, because of the surpassing worth, okay? Or otherwise, we could refer that to as a prize, right? Surpassing worth, a great prize of knowing Christ. And he goes through here and we see over and over he is making this point. It is about knowing Christ. Now this is an interesting thing. I think we should give a couple minutes to talk about. What is our goal as a Christian? Have we thought about that? Or did we just end up here today? We're just, I don't know what's going on. Different people came into my life, they influenced me, I became a Christian, and here I am today as I blink. Have I sat down and pen and paper, what is my goal as a Christian? Some might write down, I have a fear of hell. That's something to fear. I don't think that should be our goal, is to get to the prize because we fear the lesser, all right? I'm going to choose to go to A because B doesn't sound very good. I'm not the judge. You might make it there having that kind of mentality. But one thing I can say, and I can say this because the scriptures say this, we just read it, that's not the mind of a mature Christian. All right? So everybody who is mature as a Christian thinks one way. And that's what Paul's already said. So that's not a mature mind. I want to go to heaven because I don't like the idea of hell. That's not mature. So we're trying to write down our goal here. What is our intent? I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to guess for us, but I want to go to heaven because we might have a physical view of heaven. I want to go to heaven because it sounds kind of like Disneyland, you know? It sounds really cool. Images have been conjured up by individuals. You know, I'm satisfied with a little gold, a little silver on this earth, but I've got a mansion. That doesn't help me get to heaven. Maybe it helps some individuals get to heaven. Number one, Jesus didn't talk about mansions in heaven. So there's a misunderstanding of context there. But number two, I don't know about you, but a mansion doesn't appeal to me. I don't want a mansion. I don't want a mansion on this earth. I don't even want a mansion in heaven, you know? That has absolutely no drive for me whatsoever. For some people, possibly. But I don't want to deal with a mansion on this earth. I don't want to have to deal with that. Too many steps, too many walking, too much to clean. You can't find anybody in there. I mean, the idea of a mansion sounds horrible to me. You know, and so I would never strive for that, to have that on this earth. I certainly wouldn't put any work into my Christianity in order to obtain that prize eternally. So I think that's an issue. Well, in heaven, you know, it'll be like a never-ending game of golf, you know. I'm just throwing things out there. You know, I don't play golf, but, you know, insert whatever you like. But what have we done? You know, we've made heaven into a glorification of this world and physical things of this world. That's not maturity. When I was a child, that means I wasn't mature then, especially. When I was a little child, what did I think about heaven? One thing I can remember that I thought about was I wanted to go so that I could build an airplane. That was my idea. That was my idea of heaven. I thought that would be so cool to do that. That's not mature. It's not. But, you know, we may chuckle about a little child thinking heaven's going to be where you build an airplane, but we get older, and it might not be, you know, much better than that, our view of heaven. Just other things we have in mind. So, we've made heaven into kind of a physical possession of physical things. Does that really drive me to be there? Am I going to do anything possible in my life to make it there? You know? Or if in the back of my mind do I realize, well, if I miss out on that, yeah, I missed out on the best golf game of my life, but, you know, it's unfortunate, but I missed out on it. We're working towards it a little bit, but, you know, looking at heaven as a physical kind of idea, it just doesn't give us the kind of drive that we need to work by any means possible to get there. So, what has Paul said? What he's been talking about here is the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Christ. He says, I've count all things as rubbish to gain Christ. Paul doesn't have an idea of a mansion or something in his mind when he's thinking about a prize. He's thinking about Christ. Christ is the prize. Christ is the goal. Christ is of surpassing worth, of far more worth than anything on this earth. Christ, this removes us from all things physical, all physical ideas, all thoughts of a street of gold or this or that or pearly gates or these kinds of things. You know, we take things out of context in scriptures and we try to make that to be about heaven. Forget all about that. Heaven is Christ. Paradise is Christ. Isn't that, go back to Genesis, chapter 2. Isn't that what paradise is? You know, the Garden of Eden. It was just a garden of fruits and vegetables. And God told Adam, keep and tend the garden. Tend to the fruits, tend to the vegetables, tend to these plants. What made it paradise? What made it a heaven, so to speak? It was that Adam and Eve had God. They were with Him. They knew Him. Paul says that's surpassing worth. That's the prize. That's the goal. And every Christian who is mature thinks that way. And if our drive, if the goal in mind is different from that, Paul says, then we are not mature. Not yet. We haven't made it yet. The mind of the mature thinks of Christ as the goal. He said back in verse 12, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect. Why? Because he hasn't made it there. He's not done with his life. He goes further saying, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Isn't that a beautiful text? I'm pressing forward. I'm straining forward to make it my own. To make my life out of this world, in heaven, knowing Christ, having a relationship with Christ. I want to make that my own. I want that to be me. You see that person, you know, in your vision, standing there next to Jesus. I want that. I want to make that my own. He says, I want that because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Because that's what he's accomplished for me. For me to be that person there next to him. For me to know him. He's made that possible. To a mature Christian, this is what gives us the power, the energy in life to continue to press forward. This is what keeps our mind on the Lord's Supper when we partake of the Lord's Supper. This is what keeps our mind from wandering. This is what keeps our lives from wandering. This is what keeps our lives from distraction. Pressing forward. We have that as our prize. We know what Christ has done to make this possible for us, and we're pressing to own it.
We want it.
We have faith in Him that He's given it to us, and we want that place. We want that paradise. So, what happens to us as Christians when we are in a lack of maturity and we get distracted and the world's constantly calling us, right? Constantly calling. It's not an upward call, it's a downward call, all right? It's an eye level call, whatever you want to call it. They're constantly calling us away from the prize of the upward call. And we reach a state of complacency. We reach a state of looseness, and we're lax, and we spend time doing all kinds of things we shouldn't be doing. And not necessarily that they're sinful in and of themselves, but we are spending time on things that are not working in our favor. They're not working towards the prize. So what we need to be thinking about as mature Christians is what I am doing with my life, what I'm doing every day, are these acts a means of my pressing forward? Do these contribute to working towards the goal, the prize, that is knowing Christ, that is being with Him? So that's what we need to think about. That's what we need to consider. And as Paul finished up and told us again in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. We want Him to reveal that to us today. And I think He just did, right? As we just read. We don't want to have to hear that on the Day of Judgment. We don't want to have to hear, remember when you read Philippians 2 to the judge? You know, for the judge to say, why don't you turn over to Philippians 2 and read that for a moment. I've read that before. I didn't put it to use in my life. I didn't allow God's Word to transform me, to transform my mind, and therefore transforming my life. God's revealed it to us now. We need to be careful with this information. This information is of surpassing worth. This is the information of Christ. And the acknowledgement that He's made us His own. He's made that possible by His sacrifice. Have we made Him our own? If the upward call of God you have not responded to in your life, won't you start looking to Him? Look to Him in faith. Look to Him as you repent of your sins. Look to Him as you change your mind and start to follow Him in your life. Look to Him as you come and follow His instruction to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If that describes your need, then why are you waiting? Come forward and let us know all together. We stand and sing.
Jesus, the